Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
1-800-Flowers.com is more than your birthday, anniversary, or just because gift-giving destination. We put our hearts into everything we do to help you celebrate all life's special occasions with friends and family. From our farmers and bakers, florists and makers, everything from 1-800-Flowers is made with love every step of the way, because we know that nothing is more important than delivering a smile. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Couple of things before we do get going on this week's Raw ups and downs. One, I think WWE got a little bit confused because we had the Extreme Rules pay-per-view with no Extreme Rules, and then you get to Raw and nearly every single match has an Extreme Rules. And also, seems like Head & Shoulders is a new sponsor of WWE. I took this as a slice. But Moments Like Miller, thank you for joining me as always, and make sure you give all the love to the Finger of Power, because we are about to go through this latest wrestling show and give the good bits up and give the bad bits a down. Also, MVP of the week, which sometimes I forget to do. It's going to be split this time. Obviously, it's Bryan Danielson and Kenny Omega. I have watched that match 3 times because I'm a nerd. Let's up those downs. Well, I was half right when it came to the start of Raw, because yesterday I was like, oh, well, Big E and Bobby Lashley say they're going to open the show with a WWE title match, but probably there'll be some shenanigans and a long promo. But I was incorrect. It was just shot, bang, wallop, and away we went. It didn't get a finish. WWE. However, sometimes the destination is more important than the journey, and what's even more important than that is when you realise you've made a mistake and you try to rectify it, which is exactly what we did here. Because after Big E and Bobby Lashley had partaken, or partook, whatever the hell the word would be, in just a big men slapping meat match, including at one point I think blood was coming out of Big E's mouth, Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin came to ringside, and oh, delally, we reformed, or at least I think so, the Hurt Business. Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods spied this though, so they were also here, and everybody started to have a massive fight. And very upsettingly, it did spill into the ring, and everybody was having a big brawl, so the ref was like, oh, this is no good. This is not happening on my watch. Called for the disqualification. So we bring down the DQ board, that rolls up to 55, which is ridiculous, but I don't even care about this today, because when we took Shelton Benjamin, Cedric Alexander out of this group, it was just dumb, it was just stupid, it was just absolutely ludicrous, especially because they then vanished from television, despite the fact that they are very talented professional wrestlers. It pleased me so much, like I say, I don't even care that we got another disqualification, and this brawl continued until Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville arrived, and they were like, well, we don't think this is very proper, so what we're going to do is we're going to move this match to the main event, and it's going to go down in a steel cage. And again, I was like, they got their scripts mixed up. Why did this happen on Sunday? So it's almost like maybe, just maybe, somebody lit a fire under WWE's TV ads, but whatever, as long as I'm getting good television, why would I give two hoots? And I know sometimes WWE non-finishes can be grating, but it meant we got the main event, which rocked, by the way, and again, Shelton and Cedric back. It is getting it up. Angel Garza and Humberto Carrillo promo next. And they told us, hey man, we're a brand new tag team and we're also really good looking. I was like, okay, that's good to know. Much appreciated. In fact, I'll write it down. I'll make a note. Humberto Carrillo and Angel Garza. Handsome, handsome chaps. This also led to another of WWE's favourite tropes, which of course is taking two tag teams, but then taking an individual out of both pairs and letting them have a singles match. And very randomly, one of these was Angel Garza, and the other was Eric from the Viking Raiders. Now, this did suffer from another dumb finish, because I think after 10 to 15 years of watching the show, Humberto was like, I know what I'm going to do. I am going to make as much noise as I possibly can, and I'm going to pretend that I'm going to throw Angel Garza's pants into the ring. Because, you know, he likes to go, whoop-pow, and just whip them off. And Eric was so perturbed by this, like, no, don't throw pants in my face, that he was, yes, utterly distracted, and he got hit with the wing clipper, and he lost. So, bring down the distraction board, that rolls up to 105, and that is just an obscene figure. Like, it really, really is. WWE, gotta slow these down. But here's the thing once again. As stupid as this was, I am so pleased not only did Humberto Carrillo and Angel Garza get on my television for the second week running, but that they won, I'm giving it up. It's still a shame we didn't bother with any kind of a story here. These two just became friends, because why the flub not? But as always, I grade on a curve, and I'm just happy it's happening. Sadly, WWE didn't pace the show very well after that, because we cut to another match, and this one too must have clocked out in around about 2 minutes. And at that point, I was like, damn it, I would like some wrestling on my wrestling show. Down. It also didn't help that it was for the 24/7 title, and if you can believe it, it was Reggie, who again I do like, taking on Ricochet, and it was like, man, this one is just like ripping at you from the inside, because that's absolutely a match I would like to see. These two are so terrifically talented, but not for the 24/7 championship, because that just basically plugs you in at the very bottom. And you already know the rest as well. R-Truth and Drew Gulak and Drake Maverick were at ringside, and after a while they attacked, and that caused the disqualification, which really hurts my brain, because it's meant to be a 24/7 title that can be defended 24 hours a day, apart from when you're having a match, and then there's rules. Tozawa also tried a sneak attack, but he failed, so Reginald beat him up, and then he just flipped away down the street. I don't know, man. But yeah, bring it back down again. DQs rolls up to 56. Riddle backstage segment next, and kind of oddly, Randy Orton wasn't on Raw again. And while Riddle was like, oh man, he's just chilling out after his victory last week, this did happen very recently as well, so as stupid as I may sound, I just hope that everything's all right with Mr. Orton. Sound like his mum. But Riddle just presumed that he needed a break from himself when he realised that next to him was AJ Styles and Omos, and he was like, bah! Because, you know, Omos is really, really tall. We then zoom back to the ring. As it turned out, Tozawa had just been chilling out the whole time playing Nintendo. So that was a little bit weird. But he wanted to offer a challenge for a match. So he challenged Drew Gulak, he challenged R-Truth. But he didn't get any of them. In fact, he absolutely got murked. Because Keith Lee finally made his return to Raw. And that made me feel all warm and fuzzy in my tum-tum. Because I love Keith Lee. I think he's flipping great. And yeah, he's now called Bearcat Keith Lee. But I do not give two hoots. For one, it's a nice shout out to Bearcat Wright, who used to be a professional wrestler back in the day. And also, it's just a name. There are so many dumb names in the professional wrestling world, and eventually we just deal with them. I mean, one of these guys is called Edge. He properly wrecked his hour in this too, because it was a full-on squash match. I don't think it went past 30 seconds, and he hit the Big Bang Catastrophe, and he got the 1-2-3. And here's what I need you to do, WWE. I need you to build him up. I need him to get win after win after win after win. And then I need Big E versus Keith Lee. And only then can I rejoice, especially because that rhymed. Cut to Damian Priest after this, where we got the first of many promos where somebody wished death upon their opponent. I mean, my word. Because he was talking about Sheamus and how they're going to have a fight later, and that during this scrap, he wants to finish him for good. And I'm sorry, there's only one way to interpret that. Finish for good equals dead. So he crazy. Quick interview with Big E too, and he switched on his serious switch here, and I will not hear the argument otherwise. This guy is a great WWE champion, and he was all like, oh man, I will beat Bobby Lashley in the main event. And I was like, damn it, do it, Big E, do it. Couldn't have been rooting for him harder. To the point that if Big E does lose the championship before 2045, I throw my toys out the pram. We then found out what Priest was going on about, and yes, tying into the intro, we were doing Damian Priest versus Sheamus for the US title in a no DQ, no count out, no submission match. I couldn't help it. For about 2 minutes, I was just going, WWE, you're so weird. What's going on? You are so clearly more interested in your television right now than you are your pay-per-views, which is fine, but it still tickles me. However, fair play to these guys. They kicked the holy hell out of each other, and it is getting it up. I mean, they were using steps, they were using kendo sticks. At one point, Sheamus grabbed Damian Priest and gave him a white noise off the apron through a table, and that sent me absolutely wild. And then later on, a chair was wedged in the corner, and Sheamus took Damo and just hurled his head into it. What the flab is going on? The champ then got his revenge because he then booted a chair into Sheamus's face when he was going for the brogue kick. And then there was just a table set up in the corner again. So Damien grabbed him. He chucked him through it. He then hit the Reckoning to retain his championship. And this happened on Raw. I'm telling you, I had a good time. I do think it was a bit odd that Jeff Hardy didn't swan out after this and go, excuse me, fellas, I wasn't beaten last night. So where the hell is my championship shot? He had something else to do, which I will talk about in around about 10 seconds. Because yes, he did turn up, but tonight he was teaming with Mansoor and Mustafa Ali. I mean, who saw that coming? Ali was not overly pleased with this as well, because it was Mansoor who had invited Jeff Hardy to be part of their three-man team. And he was there going, Mansoor, this is the worst thing ever, and if Jeff Hardy was here right now, I'd tell him what for. And of course, by this point, Jeff Hardy was behind him, so Mustafa was like, well, what I meant to say was, I love you, and I want your children. He didn't say that, but you take my point. Hardy, during his part two, was also scripted to say, I'm going to twist their fate in reference to Jinder Mahal and his goons, because that's who they're about to fight. So if this is what we're doing now, WWE, I expect Sheamus to walk out and go, oh, I'm going to blow white noise into your face, which is a terrible thing to say, never say it again. And Charlotte to go, I will naturally select you. It's actually basically something you do in Street Fighter 2.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And after all of this too, these three failed. My word. Now, I do like Jinder Mahal and Shanky, but we just don't really do much of anything with them. They just ping pong from feud to program to feud to program. And all of a sudden here, they were taking on these three. And Veer gave a massive clothesline, which did look pretty good to be fair, to Mustafa Ali. He pinned him and Ali lost. And all I could think during this was, well, I really would like Mustafa Ali to start winning because I really like Mustafa Ali. So after thinking about it, I'm giving it down. I mean, it was kind of just there. And I think all of them deserve a bit more meat on their wrestling bones. Karrion Kross was then here, and you know the deal. And if you don't, you're just going to be confused. Because he was doing a promo backstage and he said,
my name is Karrion Kross and I have never felt more rejuvenated, more reinvigorated and more alive because my creator has finally installed emotion software within me and now I cannot wait to love, I cannot wait to feel, I cannot wait to have a partner who loves me as much as I love my quest to become a man.
Just a reminder that Karrion Kross doesn't sound anything like a robot. But his words do. He's always saying stuff like, I feel alive now, as if he used to be like a robot. He did have a match this week too, and amazingly, he was taken on Jackson Ryker. Nobody bothered to tell me what the hell Jackson Ryker had been, so I presume he had to go back to Starfleet. But man, Vince McMahon, he definitely done with this guy. So once again, it didn't go more than a minute, and Kross just locked in the Kross jacket, and before he even had it in properly, Jackson Ryker just tapped out. I understand, I don't know where this comes from, but I do think, all things considered, especially that stupid mask, I don't really think what we've done with Karrion Kross ever since we called him up from NXT has been particularly good. Down. Raw then went bizarre. Because Doudrop went to see Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville and said, hey, I know that Charlotte Flair has got an open challenge later. Why can't it be me? And they both went, well, that sounds like a good idea. But before you do, you have to do your dance. So they then left and Doudrop was just doing a dance. And I was like, ah, I don't know what this program is sometimes. It's just so, so strange. And it makes it feel like I'm losing my mind. Maybe I am. Bobby Lashley also cut a promo to camera after this. And Bobby is just great right now, isn't he? He's so mad and he's so wound up. I really, really, really like him. Just don't make him the WWE champion because, of course, Big E. It was then AJ Styles versus Riddle. And do not get me wrong, I am happy to watch them fight all of the damn time. But it ties into this bigger problem that WWE has when it comes to rematches. I should have done the research. I didn't. But they must have competed this year at least 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times. And eventually, you just want a fresh match. So taking it all and putting it into a package, that's getting it down. As I always do, though, I get dragged down into this madness because flub me, this was brilliant. Like, this was really good. They are such, such good professional wrestlers and they make me feel alive like Frankenstein or Karrion Kross. I mean, they just did crazy back and forth action constantly. Like, AJ Styles hit the Pele kicks, so Riddle then hit a flying knee, and AJ Styles was going for a gutbuster. The whole time my head was doing this, which was really stupid because it wasn't a tennis match, and therefore I was actually missing some of the action. Styles then went for the phenomenal forearm, but Riddle knocked him off the top rope, and he went for the floating bro, and somehow Styles reversed that into the calf crusher, and then Riddle at the last minute grabbed the bottom rope, and I tell you, I was just on a roller coaster ride here. If you don't intend to watch this, you need to change that now. It all built to Riddle going for the RKO, but somehow AJ reversed that into a burning hammer. I was like, we're doing burning hammers on Raw now. And then he hit the Stars Clash. He got the 1, 2, 3. And I just stared at this like a painting. I'm like, well, how can anyone be this good at this wonderful art form? I tell you, this rocked. Omos gave Riddle a chokeslam afterwards, and I swear, all of this better be building to Riddle turning on Randy Orton, because Mr. RKO is now screwing him over by not being on the show, because somebody leaves him laying every single damn time. Also, that would allow Riddle to transform into Serious Riddle, and as we established during this week's ups and downs, sometimes you gotta be serious. Serious Shriver then found Shayna Baszler and wanted to know, hey Shayna, why did you do that to Nia Jax last week? And she just looked at her and she walked off. And that was actually leading somewhere good, but not before the biggest down of the entire night. Down. Because it was Doudrop versus Charlotte, and I tell you, I was ready. Because Piper Niven, as she used to be known, or Viper on the independent scene, knows what she's doing in that ring. Charlotte Flair is one of the best. I was like, oh man, if we let them go, they will have a terrific wrestling match. And then it ended after a minute. Because as Doudrop, I think, was going for her running crossbody, Eva Marie's music hit, and my word, the drop couldn't handle this at all. She just stopped and completely forgot what she was doing. It's going like, oh, Eva Marie, don't you come out here. So Charlotte booed her in the face, hit the natural selection, and just pinned her. And I actually felt sad right down in here. I just don't get how anybody could be that easily distracted. Like, it's absolutely crazy. It's like me the whole time going, oh, there's a light, oh, there's a television, oh, there's a sofa. You'd be like, I can't watch this person. He's got a problem. Also, bring it back down. The distraction board rolls up to 106. We're going to get to 150. Then Goldberg turned up. It's my real reaction. It's like, where did Goldberg come from? It was almost like he'd hacked the show. It was so random, but he did appear via video message. So I don't know. Maybe somebody paid for a Bill Goldberg cameo. WWE just decided to air it. It definitely wasn't Bobby Lashley who booked this, though, because Goldberg said, Bob, I am so mad what you did to my son. I'm going to kill you. Now, usually I over-exaggerate my language on ups and downs. That's what he said. He said, Bobby Lashley, I'm going to beat you up. And when I'm done, I'm going to kill you, and you're going to be happy that you're dead because it will take you out of your misery. So Bill needs to be arrested. That's against the law. You're not allowed to do that in any walk of life, so I expect to see him in jail soon. And I'm going to guess that we're going to do Bobby Lashley versus Bill Goldberg at the Saudi Arabia show. But hey, look, bright side of life, at least it won't be for the WWE title. Then for a second time in the evening, a wrestler had just been chilling out in the ring the entire time because during all of this, Eva Marie was still there. And she started to go, I'm the best, nobody's better than me. Everybody in the back sucks, which she really shouldn't have done. that brought out Shayna Baszler.
And she just beat the crap out of Marie too. She locked her in the Kira Feuda clutch and then she started stomping on her elbow and her arm, trying to break it. And this really got over with the crowd because they started to chant one more time. Now that makes them really sadistic, but I get it. Nobody comes across like a crazy violent loon better than Shayna Baszler. Officials had to arrive to stop the carnage and honestly, let her do this every single week and let her make her way to the championship and then give it to her. Shayna Baszler is crazy, crazy underrated and hasn't been used properly in ages to the point is getting up. Nikki Ash and Rhea Ripley were then here and they quite literally explained their gimmick to us. That made me laugh. Because they are opposites and sometimes opposites attract and they don't care about the draft because no matter what happens to the tag team champions, so they can go wherever they want. And Nikki Ash was like, oh my gosh, we should wear the same clothes. And Rhea Ripley went, no. This was really scripted and weird. I do kind of hope that Rhea turns on Nikki Ash eventually. I think that would be good. It was then time for our main event as we technically had two WWE Championship matches in one night. This one was going down in a steel cage and it was also frankly quite brilliant. Bobby Lashley was in super duper annoyed mode as well because he just pulverized Big E before the bell. He was throwing him into the cage, he was throwing him to the ring steps. He was just throwing him as much as possible to the point when we did go ding, 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 the referee had to go, Big E, are you going to be able to do it? He was like, I'm going to be able to do it. And you were meant to think, but how's he going to be able to do it? He's so injured. As it turned out, it didn't really make a difference. Big E started to kick Bobby Lashley's ass. They were just throwing each other around, like I say, too. And I do have to admit, recently, I have been enjoying this big piece of meat, big piece of meat. We're just going to come together and collide fighting affairs. It doesn't mean I want that across the card, but in this little window we've got, absolutely. It's just like two trains running at each other. And at one point, Big E was going to hit the big ending off the top rope, but Bobby Lashley was able to return that into a dragon sleeper. When, of course, out came Shelton Benjamin and out came Cedric Alexander and out came The New Day. And they all started to climb the cage like they were in Mario. Now, WWE has to stop doing this because throughout the whole show, they've gone, the cage, nobody can get in the cage. And here was a bunch of people getting in the cage. But again, they won me over because Kofi Kingston climbed up the thing and did this crazy dive onto everybody else. It made me cheer. During the commercial, apparently Adam Pearce came out and sent them all to the back. And I was like, well, where the hell were you before, Adam? On the toilet. And then we got back into the action. And just to repeat what I've already said, it was really, really good. Big E and Lashley were then both trying to use the door and climb out of the thing, which seemed really silly. But it absolutely backfired for Bobby Boy, because when he finally went for one last climb, Big E stopped him. As he'd been teasing the entire match, he hit the big ending from the top, which looked absolutely brutal, and he pinned him for the 1-2-3. And I was like, yes. WWE were on full on, man, we've got to get people to watch next week mode too, because as soon as we were done, out came Drew McIntyre and he pointed his massive sword, not a euphemism, at Big E. And this can only mean one of two things. One, he thought Big E was the WrestleMania sign and therefore he had to do this. Or two, we are now going to do Big E versus Drew McIntyre in a WWE title feud, which I absolutely do want, especially because it makes all the sense in the world. Drew had been like, oh no, I can't challenge for the title because I lost that stipulation match against Bobby Lashley, but he's no longer the champion. And it makes me feel well done, Simon, for being invested as a long-term viewer. So what a fun way to close proceeding this was. And if you take all of this in a massive ball, I am absolutely giving it an up. Still kind of do feel like Drew McIntyre is going to get drafted and this was a tease. But hey-ho, either way, I feel like we're going to win. And this was a good Raw. I enjoyed Extreme Rules 2 and people came at me on Twitter going, Simon, you don't know what you're talking about. Of course I don't. My parents have been telling me that for years. But I'm giving Raw an up.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders that we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.